are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Pardon-O-Rama. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are ya? Yeah, we're going to take it on, that cultural cacophony and the crazy week that almost was. Including the backlash against Roseanne's alleged Ambien-induced racist rants. President Trump, meanwhile, doubling down on the double standard. While he never apologizes, he's demanding one from ABC and others. And in the midst of it all, the darling of the left, comedian Samantha Bee, steps in it bigly as she throws a vulgarian term at the president's daughter. Oi, say it isn't so. We'll talk about hypocrisy, all of that. What's the difference? Yeah, we're taking it on, I promise. Inspiration, action, challenge, success stories, too. Some great music to round things out. And you in the mix. So you're listening live. It's an early start. It's 7 a.m. out west, 9 a.m. Central Time, and 10 a.m. here in the east at the June 1st Rabbit. White Rabbit, get that lucky thing going today, right? Our number in motion, 347-857-4505. And Twitter, of course, is a 24-7 proposition. So live on podcast, chime in when it works for you at AB Rights. Social media maven Aurora in the booth with our producer, Trudy Hart, our chairman of the board, so to speak, Mary Lee, at headquarters at TCS. They tell us the social media platforms are all abuzz. Facebook page open, our PopNet chat box, so have at us. Any way that works for you. The show today brought to you in part by Panera, the way food should be, now delivered. Also by Staples, offering smart solutions for your small business. And by Dunkin' Donuts. Happy National Donut Day. A free donut can be yours on Friday, June 1st at your Dunkin' Donuts stores. Also featuring a great selection of ice culottas and iced teas. The universe runs on Dunkin'. And by our pals at PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online. PopNet features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkley Show and those robust roundtables. We've done two already this week, so it's kind of a hangover now, but we'll get there. And I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden unless it works into my agenda. Reach out. It is the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Welcome aboard.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. Talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you. Just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep and the
Take a good look around you. Take a good look at your body.
no longer America's mayor. Rudy Giuliani is now the mayor of Simpleton. I'm Amy Bethark. We showed that one for Stews. Thanks for chiming in. Also, the Beatles, Martha, My Dear, as Martha Stewart, who, you know, years ago, she was convicted and served a short prison stint for, I guess, lying to authorities, basically, in a weird little stock scheme she was involved in. She may get a pardon. There you go. She doesn't really need one, but she may get one. And Lynn Anderson, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden, unless you're talking about hanging out in the rose garden with the president and you're on his right side, and it may work out for you. President Trump, of course, yesterday announcing the pardon of conservative pundit, commentator, and filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza, who I have to admit is part of my Radio Hall of Shame, one of the several convicted felons who paraded through my radio show one time or another before he was convicted. And before he was on the cusp of crazy, I guess, but not fully into the conspiracy theories and denigrating President Obama and where President Obama was born, all of that stuff that he documented in his books and a film about Obama. And I think he made a film about the Clintons as well. What's the theme here? Why Trump might have pardoned him. Also, though, the crime for which he was convicted, and by the way, pled guilty, so it wasn't really a trial. He made a deal, pled guilty, was campaign finance fraud. It was some kind of scheme where he was donating a bunch of money using other people and then reimbursing them because you have a limit of how much money you're allowed to do. So one could wonder, what is the common denominator for all these people that President Trump is thinking about pardoning or thinking about pardoning? It has to do with perhaps personal grudges, some people have said, because Comey figured in some of these cases. Preet Bharara was involved in the Dinesh D'Souza case. Mueller even was involved in some of these cases. But I think it's more than that. I think it's the types of crimes that these people were convicted of that are also types of crimes that are now in contention with some of the people that have been indicted or are under investigation in the Mueller probe. So I think it may be a siren call to folks like Cohen, Manafort, Flynn. Keep it zipped, kids, because clemency is around the corner. I mean, that could be part of the package. There might also just be, I think he has fun of doing it, because he loves to just sign his name to something. I have the power, I can do it. It's absolute power. It is the one big power the presidency has. Now, generally, it hasn't been abused in the past, at least not largely. I mean, people talk about on their way out the door, presidents will pardon a bunch of people. President Clinton certainly did, pardoning his brother. He pardoned Mark Rich, who was this suspicious, also campaign finance thing with donations, and he was on the run at the time. It was when he was out the door. Not in the middle of his presidency, maybe you could say, well, hey, maybe that's better to do it now because we can actually judge him. We can judge Clinton on that. And Obama did a whole bunch of commutations and pardons for people who were incarcerated for low-level drug offenses and nonviolent crimes. So, but there's a process that they go through the Department of Justice, the DOJ, and reports and vetting and that sort of thing where you read documentation. President Trump isn't big on documentation. He's not big on following rules, and he certainly doesn't care what anybody else says. So he just is doing it by the seat of his pants, and I think just to signal and to have fun with the world, because I think he likes messing around. That's my take. What's yours? Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Should you find yourself listening live on Friday, June 1st, yeah, inching towards summer. Twitter feed, the Twitter feed we know is open, but also the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box. There we go. So let's see, anybody have any comments about this? Jerry says, Trump's pardons show that he endorses wholeheartedly as president the same kind of corruption and hooliganism that he followed through his careers first as a real estate developer in New York and then as president. Hooliganism, I love that word, Jerry. We'll have to use it freely. Frank says Trump relishes wielding unchecked power. That's why he loves the power of the pardon. It's lots of fun. It's not just underlying motivations. Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think he just loves messing with people and having the power to wield it. I have it. I can do it. I'm telling you, he's going to not just Don Jr. and Ivanka and Jared, although some people, it's funny how people are saying, well, Jared, maybe not. I think Jared will get the pardon, too. I think he's going to pardon himself before it's all over. I'm surprised he's not just doing it now. I guess he would do it if he thought he could get away with it, but there'd be so much backlash that even he is restraining himself for now. It's always for now. Have you noticed? This week he was going after Jeff Sessions again, saying he regrets not hiring somebody else, but he won't pull the trigger and fire him. And a lot of people analyzing it say that would be a final blow to the Senate, because Jeff Sessions was a member of the Senate and they take care of their own. And if he tossed him out unceremoniously, then it would be a backlash and the Senate would turn on him. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, really, who's turning on this guy except people who are out the door or on their way out the door? Trey Gowdy now has become a voice of conscience. He is the Republican congressman from South Carolina who spearheaded the Benghazi hearings, but he's retiring. He's leaving. So he's also freely saying, listen, this investigation, this business with the so-called Spygate is bogus. But he's on his way out. The only one who's on his way out who's not saying anything, proving he really has no spine, is Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. That guy, I don't know what's going on with him, but it's a good thing he's headed back to Wisconsin. And, of course, maybe he has some, you know, quiet, closeted presidential aspirations, but all of this stuff is going to come back to bite him because he showed absolutely no confidence and no courage. I mean, you talk about profiles in zero, as Rudy Giuliani would say, courage. This is certainly one of those guys. I mean, that's just amazing to me. It's pretty crazy. Here we go. Somebody wrote it. This is a doctor, a psychologist, I guess. The people, it's Dr. Stokes, says the people who Trump has pardoned and is thinking about pardoning tells us a lot about his behavior and the behavior he thinks is acceptable. Donald Trump is notorious for racism. This is his list of things, but claims not to be a racist. People Trump has pardoned or considering pardoning, convicted for contempt for racial profiling targeting immigrants, Arpaio. This Sheriff Joseph Arpaio, being investigated for obstruction. This is Donald Trump, convicted of obstruction, both Libby and Stewart. Libby and Martha Stewart, for that is. Notorious for lies and false statements, convicted for false statements, Martha Stewart and perjury, Stewart Libby. Being investigated for collusion in Russian election interference, convicted for violating the Federal Election Campaign Act. That was Dinesh D'Souza. Spreads conspiracy theories and convicted of conspiracy, Martha Stewart. So there you go, there's that correlation, which we were talking about, the charges. And again, I think it's maybe what he also, because he believes he's being persecuted for these things, the government, the deep state, persecutes people. But, you know, again, go back to who Obama. Obama commuted, what did they say, like 2,000 sentences or gave pardons at the end of his term? I'm not sure the exact number, but a whole lot. But it was low-level drug offenders for the most part or nonviolent people who were in prison for very long sentences for really minor crimes, or certainly crimes that didn't deserve that hefty a sentence. There was a lot of people made a joke out of it, but Kim Kardashian actually went to the White House this week to seek clemency, or at least plead the case, for this woman who's been incarcerated for over 20 years on non-violent drug offense. She was part of a cocaine ring. She was part of it. I don't know how high level she was, but a lot of people who are on the low levels of these rings get convicted and swept up and do really onerous amounts of time in federal prison for really very small crimes, and it ruins their lives. And she went on behalf of this woman. Gosh, what's the name? Stewart? Is it something? Now I have Martha Stewart in my mind. I got to check out the name of this woman. But she may get a pardon down the line, but there's no talk about talk of pardoning people in the bullpen. We have Dinesh D'Souza yesterday, and warming up the bullpen, Martha Stewart, and possibly Governor Rod Blagojevich, the former governor of Illinois, who, by the way, this would impact him because he's still in prison. He got convicted. Again, a murky conviction. At the time, I thought it was kind of strange, too. He was convicted of trying to sell Barack Obama's Senate seat when Barack Obama became president and he was governor. The truth was, I don't know if that's what he was doing, because apparently he didn't get any money for it. He was just maneuvering things. And there's some question about whether or not it really was a crime, and it's very complicated. But he got a very long prison sentence. He's been in jail for like 5 years now. So he would actually, if they pardoned him or commuted his sentence, could actually get out of prison, and there would be some effect on his life, as opposed to just making Donald Trump feel important and publicizing it. And as again, as I said, signaling people, the people that he wants to signal, hang in there because the cavalry is just around the corner. That's my take on it. I don't know. A lot of folks seem to be agreeing with me, but you never know. I always say, if you're a Trumpian, come out. Show yourself. We want to hear from you. Twitter feed is AB Wright's, phone line 347 857-4505. Blay says, usually the president takes the power of pardon very seriously. They take recommendations from the Justice Department after they study the case for a very long time. But in this case, Trump is just throwing darts and seeing what lands. Yeah, I think it's a little more than darts, though, because I think he's got that agenda, as we say. There's always an agenda. And there's always some lawyers looming, too, good and bad ones. And some of them are even in love and hanging out in Russia. It's Jackson Brown from Molly. Thanks for chiming in on the Amy Beth Markowitz Show.
I think my like Russians will. Now we've got all the proof. We've even got the moon. And I hear the USSR will be open soon as vacation land for lawyers.
Poachers and lawyers in love, America and Jackson Brown, respectively, on the Amy Beth Arkwi Show. What a week it's been, right? Craziness. Twitter feed is AB Wright. Phone line 347-857-4505 if you happen to be listening live on Friday, June 1st. PopNet chat box and our Facebook page also open. On PopNet, Lindsay chiming in, this was 1 week to blow your mind. First Roseanne, then Trump, the pardons, it's all distractions, deflections, as you would say, and craziness. Yeah, it's all of that. It's all those keeping those shiny balls in the air, as Trump does that well. Say what you will about him. He's a great marketer, a great brander, and a showman. And for a lot of folks, they just can't keep their eyes off the show. I think there was a quote. I don't have it on hand. He said something in a Playboy interview, like back in 1990, 28 years ago, that the Trump show is always on and it's always full. I mean, there's any room only. There's never a dull moment. There's never an empty seat. People are always watching it. That was his MO. So he's loving this every minute of it, that he's the center of attention, good, bad, or indifferent. He just loves keeping it going, keeping it going. So when people think he's going to either resign quietly and leave or not run for re-election, I just don't see it happening. I think he loves it too much. He loves being the center of attention. It's crazy. I mean, back in the 80s, this was a guy who in New York City had a love-hate relationship with the tabloid press, and he would actually call up press agents and reporters thinly disguising his voice and calling himself a fictionalized character named John Miller, and then there was another one, John Barron, interesting that he named his son Barron years later, as a PR agent to talk about Donald Trump's virility and how many women wanted to sleep with him. This is the guy who we have as president. It's mind-boggling. And I stumbled across this quote by the great late science fiction author Octavia E. Butler, who died a while ago, 2006, I think. But was too young, was young. She was only in her late 50s. But here's one from one of her, her books, Parable of the Talents. It says, "Choose your leaders with wisdom and forethought. To be led by a coward is to be controlled by all that the coward fears. To be led by a fool is to be led by the opportunists who control the fool. To be led by a thief is to offer up your most precious treasures to be stolen. To be led by a liar is to ask to be told lies. To be led by a tyrant is to sell yourself and those you love into slavery." Think about that. We'll post that one for you on social media, because does that speak to what we're going through today? I think it does. Think about it. And let's not take any other election in the future so casually, with such disregard for what the consequences might be. And when I'm talking about it, I'm talking to most of the people listening to this show who are in the more liberal base, more progressive people that tend to listen. We have a few Trumpians. I'm always searching for common ground, as we all know. But I'm talking about the Bernie or Busters, the people who were so principled that they couldn't bear to vote for Hillary Clinton. Consequences be damned. Well, guess what? We are damned, and we're all in the same boat with you. Because the people that liberals tend to make fun of and say, how could the evangelicals, for example, why are they such hypocrites? Well, you know what? They're getting what they want. Yeah, they're holding their nose with Donald Trump and they don't like his values, but they're getting the Supreme Court and all the courts, by the way, not just the Supreme Court, stacked for generations to come. They're getting regulations rolled back that they don't like. They're getting the tax reform they claim they want. Whether it's going to pan out or not, we don't know. But that's why they voted for him. They held their nose and they voted, because it's always, you know, the lesser of two evils, as they used to call it, or what I say, next best. And for people who voted for Obama, who still have the audacity today to tell me that they just couldn't bring themselves to vote for Hillary, but they voted for Obama for change and they voted for Trump for change. But yes, if you voted for Obama for change and you would vote for him again because you like the change that he started to create in this country, voting for Trump is anathema, because he's unraveling everything systematically that Obama put in place. So it makes no sense, because you don't care for Hillary Clinton, because you didn't quite trust her, because maybe there's some underlying hidden misogyny or sexism that you have to deal with that you haven't copped to, maybe. I mean, even if you think she was shady, and maybe she was slightly shady. All politicians are slightly shady. But she certainly was not corrupt at the level that we're talking about here with Donald Trump. I mean, this is as advertised, only worse. That's what I always tell people. I knew it. We all knew what he was. We knew what we were getting into. We just didn't know how bad it would be. That's my take on it. I don't know about yours. There are some people that say, hey, it's not so bad because they like his policies. It's working out well. That's what Mitt Romney says, who's running for Senate now. And by the way, Mitt Romney, who's about a year younger than Donald Trump, there's something about that clean living, I guess, because he looks good, got to say. Good-looking man, got the game show haircut. He looks like the part that he could play president on TV. But he didn't win. He didn't make the sale with the American public, but a charlatan. A man who lived his life fueled by chicanery, vulgarity, and crooked dealings. I mean, come on. He's a crook. He's a sexual, or an alleged sexual predator, too. I mean, this is something which now the Me Tooism has reached the pinnacle, with people like Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby going down. Donald Trump has a lot of allegations stacked against him, but yet he is above the fray. He is truly Teflon Don. And it's fascinating. It's as fascinating as it is disheartening and outrageous, but it's there. And it's something to look at, and something which people are going to be speculating on for decades to come, that's for sure. All right, enough of my ranting. What do you got to say? Twitter feed is AV Rights, phone line is 347-857-4505. Lindy got me going. I know there's some other folks chiming in as well, but it's a little crazy. It sure is. Now, the whole thing with, you know, the Roseanne rant, of course, if we want to just backtrack over that, and we talked about it extensively on social media and on PopNet this week, but I don't know. Were you surprised at how quickly Disney acted? I mean, Roseanne self-destructed with her Twitter tirade, and apparently this is not the first one. When they rebooted the show, there was all this talk about, and we touched on this show as well, how could they do it? She's horrible. And there are a lot of people saying, I'm not watching it because of all the things she said during the election. I really wasn't aware of how bad she was. I know she had a history of being a little tyrannical and nuts on her show way back when. Then she went off the show and I guess politically became a little crazy too. I didn't really know the extent of it. But apparently they made a deal with her that she had promised to clean up her act and lay off the social media. But these people can't resist, I guess. So she pretty much self-destructed with that horrible tweet against Valerie Jarrett. And there were other tweets that whole day leading up to it against George Soros, again with the whole Nazism thing. Again, she took on Chelsea Clinton. I don't even know why she picked on Valerie Jarrett at that moment, but it was disgusting and despicable. Disney acted swiftly, and I think they did the right thing. But when people come out and they're still talking about how the show, you know, people are taking sides and saying it was a Trump show, it really wasn't a Trump show. I watched it. I thought it was good writing. I thought the characters and the actors seamlessly went back into, you know, I think it was a decent reboot. I think there were a couple of uneven episodes, but I think overall it brought us to the kitchen table again, the way that show did back in the 90s, the way good shows can do when they bring up provocative topics and kind of try to bridge the gap. I think there was a chance for that, which is why I think it's sad that it's gone, by the way, son. And the Roseanne character itself in the show was somebody who, yes, voted for Trump, but also was the way she was back in the 90s, which still was kind of an independent firebrand. And, you know, even they had an episode where the neighbors were Yemeni, and she thought they were terrorists. And then she meets them, and then she winds up, when somebody else accuses them of being a terrorist in the supermarket, defending them. So, again, you see how people are schooled when they meet people and they can overcome their prejudices. So I think it actually was a well-done show. And I'm sorry, because I think it could be part of the national dialogue if she ruined it. And she ruined it for the nation to have that dialogue, but she also ruined it for so many people who worked on that show. You feel sorry for the actors, and particularly the writers and the cast, the crew and the production people and all that, who were out of work. You know, on the cast, I mean, they said that Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman and Sarah Gilbert are going to get like $3 million anyway, or whatever it is. So they'll be okay. But I feel bad for, like, Michael Fishman, Lacey Goranson, the people who played Becky and DJ. They hadn't been on TV in 20 years. There was a chance, and they were seamlessly fine, and the show was perfect. The cast just fell right back into it. So I do feel for these folks. There's some speculation now. They're saying, well, maybe they'll have a show without her. They'll do a spinoff with, you know, just kill her off in the surgery that she was going to have, and make Dan, somebody's Bobby Rivers, the TV commentator, suggested maybe have and get involved with Wanda Sykes, who quit the show before Disney canceled. Like, apparently, I didn't realize this was involved in writing or producing the show in some way. But and then other people said they should have a spinoff just called Just Jackie, because you watch for her anyway, with Laurie Metcalf. I don't think it's going to happen, and the reason I don't think, not that it couldn't happen, and the writers are in place, the cast is there, I just don't see it happening, because I think there's so much taint from the whole franchise. They're just going to start from scratch and do something else. I also think what's cruel about some of the discussion has been this idea that some people who are so virulent on social media will say things like, if Sarah Gilbert and Laurie Metcalf and John Goodman don't speak out, then they're complicit, and they shouldn't have been involved with her anyway because they knew what she was getting into. And I can't go that far. First of all, Sarah Gilbert did put out a statement that said she was disgusted, and this does not reflect her feeling or the feeling of anybody else on the show. Michael Fishman also put out something saying that it's saddening and it's not what he teaches his children. He's about inclusivity. Roseanne blasted both of those, saying, really? I basically made you what you are. How dare you throw me under the bus kind of thing. Then she kind of backpedaled. And, of course, she was backpedaling, you know, saying she's sorry that she hurt everybody and took away jobs from all these other great people. We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but I suspect it's not going to be that. I suspect they're not going to reboot it yet again. Although it's they probably could, but I just don't think they will. But I don't think that people should be blamed. It's hard not to speak out when you're part of something. I think John Goodman said, I don't want to add to anything. I don't want to make things worse. Laurie Metcalf, I don't think, has spoken out. She's busy on Broadway. Another one of her 20 nominated roles in Three Tall Women, but I think somebody wrote on social media, now poor Laurie Metcalf, now she's going to have to go back to being a Tony Award-winning, I mean, Oscar-nominated actress, doing, you know, whatever. She's had a big year. So, yeah, the actors will be fine. And a lot of the writers will find a way, too, although, you know, the season is closed now, so jobs are not open up. So it may take a while, but I don't know what their story is in terms of getting paid. If the stars are getting paid, hopefully the cast, the crew people and the production people will get paid as well. At least something. So the network is going to lose a bundle. It was their top-rated show, and it was values over ratings, and they had to take a stand, and I think it was a good one. Now the question becomes, and of course, the big divide, the discussion that we've all had this whole week about conservatives saying it's hypocritical because when liberals say it, they don't apologize, and President Trump, who never apologizes for anything, which cracks me up, he's demanding an apology from ABC for all the horrible things that were said about him on that network or whatever. It's ridiculous. And then in the midst of everything, who stumbles into trouble in a bigly way? Samantha Bee on TBS with her little show Full Frontal. She swings the C word at Ivanka Trump. Is it the same thing? I mean, so far, I guess a couple of sponsors have fallen by the wayside. No word on her show being pulled. Should it be pulled because of that? Is it the same thing as the racist rant that Roseanne ran? That's the question. You tell me. Twitter feed is AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. I'm kind of thinking it's not, but I want to hear what you have to say. And here's one for the Republicans in Congress. Packing it in. Not running anymore. John Boehner has it right. It's the Trump party now. No one can.
Holly told me you better give me a job. I said, Holly, there's no way. We don't even like each other all that much. We come make it one more day. She said, you better look out, Buster. The next time you see me, you're gonna pay. I said, Holly, I'm not running anymore. But I'm on.
Next up is Caroline Rose auditioning for the part of Caroline Rose.
My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is beating, man is shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is breaking, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. My heart is aching, hands are shaking, bugs are crawling all over me. Son of a bitch!
Show. Carolyn Rose, a young woman, singer-songwriter we discovered a few years ago on this show, and a tune called I Will Not Be Afraid. We played one of her songs last week, and Bonnie said, I like that girl's sound. You got another one? Yeah, we got a whole bunch of them. She's there, a little under the radar, but big on the singer-songwriter indie circuit. And, you know, it's tough to get yourself out there, but she does have a great sound. So check her out. YouTube is a good place to go. You can find a whole bunch of stuff there, as well as iTunes, etc. And buy her stuff and go to her shows. And Mellencamp, too, of course. I'm not running anymore. That for the Republican Party, who John Boehner, mid-morning Bloody Mary by his side yesterday, said, there is no more Republican Party. It's the Trump Party. Republicans are taking a nap somewhere. Well, maybe they'll wake up, and maybe they won't. But Trump keeps things going and keeps us alert anyway with the news of the day. So the whole question is the Roseanne issue the same thing as the Samantha Bee issue? Samantha Bee calling Ivanka Trump the C word, does that rate in the same way as Roseanne doing what she did regarding Valerie Jarrett and her other outrageous tirades? Tim on Twitter says, it was wrong and unacceptable for Samantha Bee to use the word she used for Ivanka, in my opinion. But if you don't understand the difference between what ABC deciding based on its own values to cancel Roseanne and the White House basically demanding the silencing of B, you are beyond the reach of reason. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And Kelly says, it's a different deal because racism is such a big thing in this country and nobody's copping to it. See, that's my issue. Racism is like our national albatross, and if we don't deal with it, we just never deal with it enough. I mean, we sort of deal with it in spits, you know, fits and spurts, as they say. But Trump was sort of a reaction to Obama, right? I mean, because Obama proved that we could have an African-American man as president, not a woman yet, but a man. And some people were not happy with that. And then we got Trump, who was like the, you know, blowing things up in the opposite direction, not just unraveling policies, but is also someone who is a racist. I'm sorry. People will say, he's not really a racist. He's just playing the race card. I don't know the difference. He has done a lot of things that are racist over his career. I mean, he's lived a pretty much consequence-free life. He's done a lot of things that are either criminal or vulgar or despicable or morally reprehensible, and yet he has gotten away with it in terms of enriching himself in his own career and his own life, and now he's the president of the United States, so there's no consequence for his actions. So it's kind of crazy and it's kind of outrageous, and I do think there's a difference. And particularly, if you look at the Roseanne thing, I mean, again, this is where people say, why did Disney get in bed with her to begin with the second time around? Because she had a lot of Twitter rants and tirades in the past. I hadn't been aware of this, that she had said a similar thing about Susan Rice, the former National Security Advisor and UN Ambassador under Obama. Similar, gross, disgusting comment equating her as being an ape. Years ago. So maybe the question is, and of course Disney's saying they weren't aware of this. I wasn't aware of this, but you know, maybe they shouldn't have gotten involved with her again. But they did, and she seemed to clean up her act, and then she self-imploded, and we know what happened. But there is a difference between spewing some vulgarity, which is disgusting, and I'm not saying shouldn't have consequences, but it's different than equating a black person with an ape, a gorilla, etc. That is something which has been done for years to denigrate, to dehumanize, and we have to understand the difference. So there is that difference there. But there's also hypocrisy on the side of the right wing, which freely calls Hillary the C word, and Ted Nugent, for example, who is a darling of the right wing and the darling of President Trump, called Hillary that and was invited to the Oval Office. So for President Trump to be demanding an apology, to me, is the height of hypocrisy, especially for someone who never apologizes. But then again, what else is new? Twitter feed AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. This is the Amy Beth Arkin.
I'm sorry, that won't work for me.
Cold here in the city, it always seems that way. I've been thinking about you almost every day. Thinking about the good times, thinking about the rain, thinking about how bad it feels alone again. I'm sorry for the way things are in China. I'm sorry things ain't what they used. More than anything else, I'm sorry for myself.
You're not here with me. Our friends all ask about you. I say you're doing fine. I expect to hear from you almost any time. They all know I'm crying, I can't sleep at night. They all know I'm dying down deep inside. I'm sorry for all the lies I told you.
Apologetic tunes from John Denver, I'm Sorry, and Connie Francis, Who's Sorry Now, for Leon via Twitter. Thanks for chiming in on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show for Donald Trump, who never apologizes but always wants one. Incredible. Hey, the Inspiration Action Sean success story today for Polly, I think it's Microsville, Michigan, is that right? She says, dusting off some old stories, looking at them with fresh eyes after doing the challenge for about a year. It was on and off at the beginning, but I'm in a groove, as you would call it, and taking things more seriously, yet lighter, facing the page every day. And I have to say it has lifted my spirit. Therein lies the whole point of it, Polly. So congratulations. Please keep going and please keep us posted. The point is to find yourself a more purposeful, joyful life, and you're doing it. So keep at it. Hey, if the Inspiration Action Challenge has worked for you, I'd love to give you a shout-out. You deserve it for your hard work. And you're also helping other folks spirit each other on. That's what we're here for, to give each other permission to play and to try and to do and to be encouraging. So please reach out if it's working for you. And on the other hand, if you say, you know, I'm kind of in a creative slump of sorts, I'll cajole you out of it. I'll try. Well, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. First one's always on me. Give me about 2 weeks to connect, and we'll chat and give you a primer on the challenge. Some other tips and tricks might get you in a more creative and joyful groove. No promises, but it does work for folks, and I hope it can work for you. I think it can. Reach out to the website. It's AmyBethArkoui, ArkAwy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. While you're there, you can peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon Mysteries. Other goodies, including our Cozy Cat Short Anthology, which includes my story, Rabbit, Rabbit, White Rabbit, about the great luck of the first day of the month and what happens after that. Anyway, check it out. If you're so inclined, you can chime in with your guest suggestions, your big story requests, Forgotten 45 requests, all that stuff, too. One-stop shopping at the website, amybetharkoui.com. Don't forget to follow the Amy Beth Arkoui Show archive at a slew of places, BTR, Mixcloud, Stitcher. Now on Push Play, download episodes, too, at iTunes and NetNow. Select editions on the Arts Radio Network and PopNet. All roads lead back to our website, amybetharkoui.com. Always appreciate that. Connect on Facebook by friending me. You can follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. Follow me on Twitter for the 24/7 conversation at AB Writes. Got it all in. Thank you to the GCS crew, Trudy and Aurora, in the booth and Millet headquarters. And thank you, of course, for joining us. Always enjoy it in real time. It's lively. Podcast is fun, too. You know how it is. Big week. Tired. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkoui Show. I'm going to leave you with a song paying homage to my new digs in the boonies. I like it, though. It's a little big town. Boondocks. Amy Beth Arkoui Show. Take care. I love you all.
I get a pole. We'll go fishing in the crawfish hole. Five car poker on Saturday night. Church on Sunday morning.
You get a line.
You get a line.
I get a pole.
We'll go fishing in the crawfish
hole.
Five car poker on Saturday night. Church on Sunday morning.